Good morning from the Civic Media News Desk. I'm Joanne Krulotz. Richland School District Administrator Steve Board explained an option for alternative programming to the Richland School Board at its meeting Tuesday night. It is to start a new charter school for the 2025-26 school year. There is a growing number of students across the region and state who need more support than their local school districts can provide. This is evident when examining other alternate programming facilities that are at capacity and not accepting new students. Motive 8 Children's Therapy is a privately run business in Reedsburg that assists families with behaviors. They use applied behavior analysis, which is a researched and evidence-based approach for observing and systematically modifying the environment to create significant behavior change in positive ways. ABA includes individualized assessment and treatment of behavior and learning skills, home and school consultations, as well as parent training while continuously monitoring progress. Richland County has assisted families by helping to enroll them at Motivate. However, Motivate is not a DPI-recognized educational institution and therefore does not meet the standards of attending school. It is the hope of the Richland School District to combine these two approaches and create a charter school that focuses on behavior analysis while providing a DPI-recognized educational opportunity as well as counseling for students. Not only would this prevent the district from paying $50,000 to $75,000 in expenses to send students to other locations, but would eventually open the door to allow other districts to send students to the Richland District. The focus of the school would be to positively affect sustainable changes to the students' behaviors while providing some academic support as well. Trained staffing would be a certified behavioral analyst. This is a master-level degree similar to the certifications the director at Motivate encompasses. They would be the quasi-administrator at the facility and provide training to not only the staff at this school, but across the district. One FTE, or full-time equivalent, would be needed to provide the educational instruction for the students. This will be someone who holds an alternative education license through DPI. Support staffing would be 1-to-1 or 1-to-1.5 ratio of staff to student as certified behavioral techs. These techs would be trained support staff who work individually with students and collect data on each individual. The plan for the 2025-26 school year would be to start with 3 students. Because of the low number of students to start this charter school, the possibility exists for the certified behavioral analyst and certified staff to be the same person for 1 year. This is not a sustainable option, but does allow for expenses to be limited in the first year. If approved, a location would need to be secured. Given the lower number of students in year one, the space needs are limited. However, for sustained growth options, will need to be examined. The cost of staffing would be approximately $400,000. This cost could be down to $270,000 if the certified behavioral analyst and certified staff are combined into one for the first year. This is also based on 3 behavioral techs, but this would be student-based. While this is a steep cost for 3 students, the board is being asked to consider. The district has spent close to $150,000 in sending 2 students to alternative options this year. Secondly, the hope would be to grow the enrollment in year 2 to 15 students. Students from neighboring districts would pay tuition. Having neighboring districts pay $50,000 to $75,000 for a behavioral-based academic center would offset the expenses the Richland District would incur. Finally, many of these students would be eligible for receiving Medicare reimbursement. Since students would be limited on their academic time, as well as avoiding the summer slump, the proposal would be to run this alternative school year-round, taking smaller breaks throughout the year. This would alleviate daycare issues for families as well as keep a consistent environment for students to grow and learn. This topic was discussion only. No action was taken. Tuesday night, the Richland School Board approved a job description for the Guiding Coalition. The Guiding Coalition member serves as a key leadership figure in the school's or district's professional learning communities framework. Members are responsible for modeling, guiding, and supporting collaborative practices among faculty to create a culture focused on continuous improvement and student learning. The member will work with the coalition team to establish and promote the mission, values, goals, and professional expectations necessary for a successful PLC. They ensure alignment of school or district practices with the PLC's core principles and strategic initiatives. In other action, the board approved a motion to waive policy 5851, school events on Wednesdays, Sundays, and holidays, to allow the RCHS Student Council and the RCHS FBLA to attend their respective conferences, and for the 8th grade class to attend a Brewers game. To dispose of property on the Wisconsin Surplus auction site, items include marble, an upright piano, 1900 Ford tractor, a rear mount mower for 1900 Ford tractor, a Blodgett combination oven, a steam table, and an 8x10 storage building. Dane County Judge Susan Crawford and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel meet for the first and only time tonight. Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin said the debate is an important moment both for familiarity but also for the candidates to express their positions. On WISN's Upfront, Franklin noted the candidates face constraints. There are limits on what judicial candidates can talk about and not appear to be prejudging cases in the future, and yet still give voters an understanding of who they are and what they're for. Despite saturation of advertising coverage, fewer than 40% of respondents to the latest Marquette poll say they've heard or read a lot about the Supreme Court race. WISN-TV is hosting a debate at Marquette Law School. Wisconsin Democratic Attorney General Josh Call is wading into the state's Supreme Court race by renewing an old feud with conservative candidate Brad Schimmel. Call on Monday mentioned delays in texting sexual assault evidence kits when Schimmel was attorney general. Call ousted Schimmel from this post in the 2018 elections. Call relentlessly criticized Schimmel during the campaign for taking over 2 years to test about 4,000 kits. Call on Monday accused Schimmel of not paying attention to the project and declaring it completed prematurely while leaving hundreds of kits for his administration to finish testing. The Schimmel campaign said that he voluntarily took the initiative in leading the response for the untested kits. With millions being spent on advertising in Wisconsin Supreme Court election, are voters any better informed? UW-Madison political scientist Barry Burden says much of the advertising in the race between Dane County Judge Susan Crawford and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel has little to do with the actual job of a state Supreme Court justice.
Many of the ads are about crime, records on criminal justice, toughness on crime, associations with police or law enforcement, not very indicative of the kinds of things they'll actually address on the court. You know, we're providing voters with a lot of information about things that maybe aren't most useful for them in figuring out who the right candidate would be.
Burden says ads do help voters understand the candidate's allegiances.
One of the things I think ads do that is helpful is showing the allegiances of the candidates to groups and causes, things they've been entangled up in the past or have a connection to. That's indicative of their probably judicial philosophy and how they think about cases.
Schimmel and Crawford will participate in their first and only debate to the campaign tonight. A bill requiring Wisconsin sheriffs to seek proof of citizenship from persons in custody on felony arrests clears the state assembly committee. If a sheriff does not comply, the local government will lose 15% of its revenue from the state in the following year. On Tuesday, the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety voted 8-4 along party lines to recommend passage of the bill. It will need to pass both the full Assembly and Senate in order to arrive at the desk of Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who's already indicated he'll veto any such measure. A bill prohibiting trans student athletes from participating in high school and college sports in Wisconsin had a public hearing Tuesday. State Assembly Republican Barb Dittrich of Oconomowoc says an executive order from President Trump on the subject doesn't go far enough. She wants to prevent trans students from using or entering their selected gender's locker rooms and changing areas and impose penalties on any school district that ignores the ban. Wisconsin's version of the Elon Musk-led effort charged with making government run more efficiently struck a more collegial, bipartisan tone in its first meeting. The Republican-created panel on Tuesday took input from Democrats and included testimony from a broad array of government leaders. The meeting came after one of the Republican leaders of the effort angered Democrats when he sent information requests to the state's largest cities and all 72 counties seeking information about diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Wisconsin is one of several states that have sought to mimic the work of the Federal Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE.